You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. PackersTalk.com.
On this episode of Cheesehead Radio,
Devontae Adams is headed to Sin City.
While the Packers continue to play the cap space game.
Meanwhile, the draft is only a month away.
And a little overtime bonus, Packers Talk.
Four quarters of Packers Talk.
Right here on Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. It's time for some big news here on Cheesehead Radio. Well, maybe. Now we're about to hit our teenage years going into our 13th season. Our esteemed hosts tonight are Kelly Hodgson, known as That Packer Girl on Twitter, CeeDee Angeli of Packers Talk, known as Tundra Vision on Twitter, and lastly, little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. You can find me at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. That is it for the preliminaries. Let's get this show on the road.
All right, guys. Welcome back to our 280th show. 281, that's like a really big number. We've been doing this. We've grown old doing this show.
Well, especially, you guys have grown old. I kind of started.
Yeah, I've grown old. You were old, Al.
I made the joke for you. Okay, you happy? You guys were slow.
We're going to segue into Al's always right, and CeeDee and Kelly are always wrong.
So, big news from our last show: Devontae Adams did receive a franchise tag. We speculated on the last show what was going to happen. Sort of surprising. Brian Gutekunst.
No, it's not.
It was incredibly surprising to you two. I wasn't surprised at all. But was tagged and traded for a first and second round draft choice in this year's draft. What do you guys think?
These are not your grandfather's Green Bay Packers, are they?
They are not.
I'm going to try not to panic that our starting wide receivers as of right now are Randall Cobb and Allen Lazard.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if Randall Cobb will actually be targeted by Aaron Rodgers. So,
that would be nice, to bring him there and actually throw him the ball. That'd be a good idea.
Especially since he demanded that we re-sign him.
I'd be good with that.
And since Randall Cobb took like a 70% pay cut to stay with him another year.
Thank you, Randall.
I don't think I would do that for my boss. No offense.
Nope.
No. Nope. So the Packers pick up, probably most importantly, the Packers were picking 28th. They now also add in the 22nd pick. So two first-round draft choices. I think we can go back in time a little bit to Jair Alexander and Josh Jackson that year. Brian Gutekunst may have a little room to play here, but in terms of just going back to Devontae moving, obviously, Kelly, you just expressed a little nervousness. Jersey, what's your feeling on losing perhaps the best wide receiver in the NFL?
It had to be done, I guess. I'm in that resignation stage, It had to be done. As much as I really thought that they were somehow going to be a tag team and, that their fates with the Packers were joined together, obviously that was completely the opposite of being the case. And the whole last dance thing now looks like it was just Devontae saying, "It's my last dance, folks," and wasn't a joint thing with Rodgers at all, which, we've been deceived by these clever athletes and their social media presence. But in any case, seriously, I really thought that the Packers defense was going to be decimated in order to bring both of those guys back. And instead, the opposite happened. The Packers defense, because Devontae Adams is not coming back, has been able to be, brought back pretty much intact, which is a good thing. So I'm resigning myself to the fact that something positive came out of this, came out of this. And we'll see how things work out with the draft here with the extra picks.
Yeah, I guess. And I know you want, I think, edit this part. I just had a
Actually, no, I'm going to leave that in.
Thanks.
Actually, we put that on repeat. Every time she starts to say something, put that in.
I know that CD wants to gloat that he was right and weird, but the fact that he got traded and took his ball and went home to his college quarterback, I guess it doesn't really surprise me. What is an interesting turn of events this past week was it doesn't sound like it will be a very long reunion because Derek Carr has also insinuated, well, I'm going to stay in Vegas as long as it just suits me. So there's like no loyalty with Carr. It's like Adams might have hopped to there, but Carr may still hop elsewhere, you know, within a year. So it's interesting to see how everything's kind of shaking out. I am a little bit worried that we're kind of short in the wide receiver core right now. You know, can we get it done with Cobb and Lazard? Yeah, they're not top tier, but they're good utility players. I was a little surprised to see we didn't really fight to try to keep MVS. But we have two first-round draft picks. We could, if we wanted to, parlay them into a higher first-round draft pick and trade two for one. Don't know if that'll happen. Probably not. But I am optimistic that the Packers will shore up the receiving core one way or another, whether it's free agency or through the draft.
So I guess here's my thought. Number one, I'm going to address something you said, Al. You kind of said, well, this whole last dance looks like it was all a pulling the wool over our eyes. I think this story of what the last dance was last summer to what it is now has changed stories many times. I think it was a very real possibility Aaron Rodgers was not going to be with the Packers this past season. I think it's a real possibility he was not going to be with them this upcoming season. But we know there's some match. I can't wait to read the book on this. Someday they're going to write a book about this. They're going to write a book about, you know, all the books they wrote about Favre and, you know, 2007, 2008. They're going to have books about this and all the stuff that happened behind the scenes. Interested to see what happens. But Devontae Adams is no longer, he ends up being the odd man out. Maybe he wouldn't have been the odd man out, but Rodgers is here. He is not. To address what you said, Kelly, does a future Hall of Fame quarterback have to have the best wide receiver in the league in order to be good? Or the highest paid quarterback, highest paid player in the NFL need to have that? To be honest with you, the games where Devontae Adams has been injured and not playing appear to be some of Aaron Rodgers' best games because he is not zeroing in on a target, which he tended to do with Jordy Nelson and now he does with Devontae. This might make him better, having to pass to Cobb and actually, you know, thread a needle to him because he can't make as much space or go up to get the ball like Devontae does. He's going to have to be a better quarterback. The receivers are going to have to step up. I see it as a plus. You had a couple new faces in there probably through the draft, and you've got a wide receiver core that a Hall of Fame quarterback should be able to make a chicken salad out of.
You mean like Tom Brady in New England?
Exactly.
Okay, I'm with you.
Well, good. So, moving out of the first quarter, I humbly accept Kelly and Jersey Al's apologies.
And we humbly refuse to apologize because we are like that. We are vindictive.
I know,
like that.
I know.
So
it's childish and
absolutely.
It's okay.
And we're proud of it. It's okay.
I will humbly not acquiesce your request to admit we're wrong.
Yes, a forced apology is no apology anyway. So. You don't
it could
really
be a back, but a forced apology, a backhand. So let's do it.
Yeah, now we're getting too deep in the weeds.
We are getting very deep in weeds here. Okay. So moving on to the second quarter, the Packers have cleared up some space and they've brought in some names that at one point I think we were all very nervous we were not going to have here. I know we played our little play of the game and who the Packers are going to keep and lose and among the free agents who we're going to sign. We didn't think we were going to get any of them. And
yeah, we were all wrong, CD. I'm just going to point that out. That was the great equalizer.
Which is why I'm not going to spend too much time bragging about being right about Devontae Adams, because I feel like all these Twitterati people who've been saying, you know, all you got to do is just flick the pen a little bit. That's all you got to
do.
No,
dare,
and magically, all of this here salary cap goes away. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works. It's a real thing.
We'll keep Devontae Adams and we'll keep Aaron Rodgers.
And they're right, because all of a sudden we're like, we still like $15 million in cap space left. And I'm like, how does this work? And of course, we know how it works. We're going to be kicking, you know, several cans into, you know, 2023 and 2024. Rasul Douglas is back.
For those of us who are keeping track, that is Kick the Can number one for the show.
Yes. Take a drink.
Take a drink. Now we'll go blind by the end.
Razul Douglas, I thought you want to talk about this, Kelly. This is a big thing, Razul.
Razul. This was, I'm pleasantly surprised we brought him back because he was one I thought we would let walk. You know, the last time we recorded a show, they were just beginning to talk, and I was not optimistic. But what it really looks like, and I think we're starting to see the potential for a post-Rodgers era, where we're not a team focused on a rock star quarterback that can carry the whole team on his shoulders, whether or not he has.
But will he agree to that?
Yeah, I know. But what you're seeing is a reimagined Green Bay Packers, I think, that is starting to put its strength on a shutdown defense. You've got Razul signing. We had Devondre Campbell sign.
Jaren Reed. I'm not sure how to pronounce his first name. Is it Jaren or Jarant? Does anybody know?
I don't know.
Jaron.
You're
going
with the French?
Frenchy?
Oui, oui.
Ooh la la. But okay. I think there's something to be said that I think that the new rebuilding Green Bay Packers is a defensive team, not necessarily a quarterback team.
That's kind of a funny thing to say when we literally have the highest paid quarterback of
all
time. Yes,
but how long is he going to be there? I think, you know, he said he's not going to play.
Not really a quarterback team. We're just going to pay him $50 million a year.
Hear me out.
We're probably more in defense.
He always said he refuses to play for a team that's building, but we're a team that's building.
Rebuilding.
And it's not in – the long-term plan is not Aaron Rodgers. The long-term plan, I think, is a very stout defense that we're building a team around that instead of a team around, you know, what we've been doing for, you know, since 1993, you know, around a blue-chip quarterback. That's what I'm trying
to say. That's the best way to prepare for life when you don't have the gazillion-dollar quarterback is to have a fantastic defense whenever that happens.
So we're very fortunate to have Aaron Rodgers, but I think we're already – I think the incarnation of the Packers, once he's gone, is this. You've got some really stout defenders, and that's what you base, you know, your whole team around. Is the whole focus of re-signing wasn't offense. It was Rodgers, but the rest of the offense was like, yeah, we'll sign whoever we can. The priority really seems like we're going to be signing the defenders.
All right, prepare your next shot. Here we go. Ready?
Yes.
Everyone got it poured?
Yes.
Good. But it may not matter because in 2 years, when all of these contracts balloon out, we may not be able to afford everyone on defense. So
say it. Just say it so we have number two out of the way. Right. We're kicking the what?
We're kicking the aluminum down the road here. So I don't know. I agree with you. I think it's important to have this defense. I think you can't win these games unless you're playing in three phases, as we certainly found out in the NFC Championship game again. But I guess I would just caution us thinking that this is a team that's built for life after Rodgers, because I still think this whole team is blown up after Rodgers. Kelly, can you wake up Jersey, please?
I'm trying to think of something witty to say to that, but it's just too depressing.
There's nothing witty you can say.
It's depressing.
I know, it's just too depressing.
But I think post Rodgers will also be post Bakhtiari, and I think that frees up some money between the two of them.
Well, it might be post a lot of people.
Post a lot of people. It's going to be just a bloodbath. But
and then don't forget, we're still paying part of Bakhtiari's salary and that voice
after he's dead. After
gone. So.
It's like a zombie contract.
Literally, I think Devontae Adams is the only thing I said, Brian Gutekunst, you need to do this, and he actually did it, because everything else I've said we should do, he's like done the opposite. And it's so weird because it took me a long time, and you guys probably didn't know me in the mid-2000s when Ted Thompson took over, and I really, really struggled to wrap my head around what Ted Thompson was doing. And it took me a while to come around to understand how he's constantly replenishing and building through the draft. And yes, it's chewing free agency and always having money in the cap to extend people with last year's money. So to see this whole plan that Gutekunst is doing, it's sort of shocking to a guy who really came to like and appreciate how Ted Thompson was a general manager. It's you know, honestly, if Ted Thompson had kept hitting as well as he had been in the drafts, I mean, we would have been contenders in perpetuity. Perpetually, we would have been it.
Say that purposefully.
Yes.
I'm exhausted, guys.
But literally, it's like this is a constant last dance that we know someday the bill's going to come due. And I don't understand it. I'm still trying to wrap my head around how he's doing it, why he's doing it, because
the answer, CD, is that big shiny silver trophy called the Lombardi Trophy. That's why he's doing it. It's the best chance he has to put a Super Bowl on his resume, and he's taking it. He's taking his chance. He's rolling his dice, and whatever happens, happens.
But
that's it.
But I would make the case that had some things bounced the correct way, the Packers had a chance to win a Super Bowl in 2010, which they did. They probably had another chance to win it in 2011. Yes, that's my point. 2014, 2016. And that's all Ted Thompson constantly putting us in contention and constantly replenishing the team so that there was never really these massive ups and downs. Now I feel like we've had this massive up, and now we're due for a massive down.
This is what all the Yahoo Packer fans have screamed for during the Ted Thompson era. Why doesn't he do that? Why doesn't he? How come? Well, they're getting what they wanted now.
You have to do that like in a Uper accent, though. Can you do that?
I can't do that. I don't know Uper accents. You can do it for me.
The Packers are going to keep Aaron Rodgers, and we'll use whatever it takes with the money and kick it down the line, because
That's not crazy enough. You got to be angry. You got to be angry and upset. Trading for this guy? And why isn't he signing free agents?
I live on the other side of the state with Minnesotans, so I accidentally channeled Minnesota nice.
Yeah, that was too nice. Much too nice.
You betcha there, hun.
All right, we're going to take that to the end of our second quarter.
Think that was a win, by the way, boys.
I don't know. I mean, Rasul Douglas, Bob Tonyan coming back, Devondre Campbell coming back, getting two picks for
I'd call it at least a push.
It's at least a push, I would say.
Yeah, you have to look on the bright side. I'm trying to be optimistic.
Yeah, Mr. Happy over here. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
All right, on to quarter three.
Yes. The NFL draft is 1 month away. Starts on April 28th. Where is it this year? Is it in Nashville?
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Home of...
Devontae Adams.
Yes.
You just had to write that in.
I hate those fill-in-the-blanks.
Yes. I wanted to see if you're all going to say it.
Home of Wayne Newton? What were you getting at, CC?
I was waiting for you guys to all, you know, chime in with it.
Who is Wayne Newton for 600, CD?
Anyway, so... with this coming in, and now that we're starting to see some of these spots, as you said, the defense is sort of settling in, at least for 2022. Where are our target positions? And I'm just going to say particularly for the first two rounds, because we have four picks in the first 60 draft picks this year.
Yes,
which is pretty incredible. I mean, none of them are really high. But
you can wheel and deal and go up high since you have so many picks.
You can. So
seven picks in the first 140.
Mm-hmm. So wide receiver, I think we can all agree, is a position group that the Packers probably will try to target with one of those four picks or some combination of those four picks. What other positions are we really looking at that we still need to look at to maybe have a rookie hopefully able to step in and fill?
Tackle.
Offensive tackle.
Definitely tackle.
Right. Even though I'm a strong believer in Yosh, and I think that he would be fine.
Nice.
What is the expiration date on Priest? The thing.
What's that?
What is Bakhtiari's expiration date? That's the big question.
I don't know, but right now their need is a right tackle.
Absolutely.
While I believe in Yosh, and I would run with Yosh, I don't think the Packers will be content to just have that be their plan. So I would expect them to draft somebody. I'd also expect them to possibly, you know, pick up a a low-key free agent veteran like they did with Dennis Kelly last year, you know, somebody along those lines that wouldn't cost much, and they have them for a year as insurance. But yeah, going back to the draft, offensive tackle, I think actually edge rusher maybe, you know, maybe not a top priority. Mm-hmm. But with,
no, but maybe second or third round, yeah.
Yeah, you want somebody that you could rotate in there every once in a while, you know, in case some of the guys they have on the roster right now don't really come through. I'm thinking of Randy Ramsey and was it Garvin? I can't think of his name now with a G. We're all drawing a blank, I guess.
Insert cricket sounds right
all
there.
All right. Well, in any case.
One thing I don't think we'll be drafting, because I don't think it's a good draft year, is a quarterback. Whether you're happy with Jordan Love. Yeah, as Jordan Love is a number two, and whether we like him or not. This wouldn't be the year to grab a quarterback. No.
No. The other thing I would look for would be a safety. Right. I mean, we've got two safeties on the last year of their contract. Now, Amos could be extended. Savage could be brought back on the fifth year option. But still, do we have really a third safety now with Henry Black, who got most of the snaps of the third safety, gone? So I think they need a little more depth at that position. Right. So I would look at that as well somewhere in the first four rounds.
Yeah, I think those are the priorities. I would never say no to another linebacker, but Devondre Campbell definitely makes me a little more sure that finally we have somebody in that position. But
yeah, you know, I think that comes a little bit later in the draft. You know, for some inside linebacker depth and special teams play, right?
Yeah,
you pick up those guys later in the draft for that. We definitely need more special teams.
What left? I think you're spot on with an edge rusher. Later in the draft, mainly just to watch Corey Banky's head explode, I wouldn't mind taking a punter.
You know, interesting, and they're not going to do it.
I'm not impressed with the punter they signed. Can I just say
right.
that?
I would have been all in on them doing that if they hadn't signed this guy, all right? But they signed him, and, you know, they're paying him money, and not much less than they were paying Bojo, and you know, he's got a cap hit and everything, so he's not going anywhere. But there's a punter from Penn State, Adam Stout, who he's like the second ranked punter in the country, and he's the best at kickoffs. He kicks all. He would be the perfect addition if you're going to keep Mason Crosby, to have this kid as the punter and let him take the kickoffs. But will the Packers trust a rookie punter? No, they're not going to do it. So scratch that idea.
Jersey Al talking about Penn State guys is like you and me talking about Wisconsin guys.
Well, I've been a little bit out of the loop, but still, this guy this guy really, just reading about him recently from the draft guide, actually, he'd be perfect. You know, it's a perfect complement to Crosby, except for the fact that he'd be a rookie.
Speaking of the draft guide, why don't you give a little push for your little baby that you bring to life every year, Al?
We are almost there. The last pieces of content are getting handed in and edited, and it's going to be published in about a week, right? So sometime like around April 6th or 7th, it'll be coming out. The price goes up then. You know, you can get it at the less expensive pre-order price right now if you order it. Once it's published, the price does go up. We've had really good response to sales, and people are excited about it. I'm excited about it. We've got some really good additions to the team this year. Some people doing the rankings that really have some real good qualifications to do so. So I'm excited about that. So, yeah, I mean, it's our 12th year doing it, so we're well established. Go out and pick up a copy, and I'm sure that you will like it. I guarantee. Well, I don't guarantee it, but I think that you will.
I almost heard money back guarantee there for a moment.
By the way, Jonathan Garvin is what I was thinking of. Just came to me. Go ahead.
But all kidding aside, I think it's a very, even if you're not a draft nick, it's a very easy to read, really high value draft guide. I'm not a huge draft nut, but this is one I can understand.
Yeah.
And it's down to, it's really, it's worth the money, and it's not that much too.
And it's written for Packer fans. You know, everything is, you know, our rankings, everyone, every player has a section fit for the Packer, you know, so we don't just tell you what they can do. We tell you, is this a guy that would work for the for Green Bay? So it's, you know, it's Packer fan centric, and you can't get that anywhere else.
Hey, Jersey Al. Hey. Yes. What website would I go to if I wanted to order it?
You might want to go to cheeseheadtv.com, and it's right there on the homepage. There's a big picture there. Just click on the picture. It'll take you right to the store page.
Perfect.
There you go.
So the Packers are going to have picks number 22 and 28, 53 and 59 in the first two drafts. As I said, those four picks in the first 60. If you were looking at a draft value chart, which I know doesn't ever pan out in real life, if you're to trade up both firsts, that's got the value of around a pick number 8. And if you traded all four of them, you might get to pick 3. It's very doubtful that that's going to happen. In fact, I was spending a little time on a couple of draft simulator sites today, and I kept trying to trade up and see exactly where I could, you know, trade up and get one of those top, you know, top tier wide receivers. And yeah, no one in the top 10 was taking my two picks. So it's not likely we're going to trade up there, but watching Brian the year that we had Jair Alexander, and remember how exciting that was when he traded back and then traded back into the first round? For a guy who knows what he's doing in the draft like that, I think he's really going to be able to maneuver those four picks around to get the guys he's targeting. And I think that's exciting to watch.
And the funny thing is, this week you had the NFL meetings going on, and you know, Goody, LaFleur, and Murphy all spoke for a little bit. And you had both Murphy and LaFleur kind of hinting at, like, oh, it's draft is going to be really exciting. There's going to be some fun stuff going on, you know, as if they're trying to tell you that there's going to be some wheeling and dealing going on. So we'll see.
You know, that was always kind of my dream. You know, you may remember a couple years ago, I was like, yeah, you know, let's just trade everybody. Let's just let's come in here with 7-8 picks in the first, you know, three rounds. And just that excitement of saying, you know what, I want this guy here that's going at number 22. What do I need to get him? Boom. Okay, the guy's, and I'm picking here, but the guy wants back a few rounds. Let's go back. It's kind of exciting that Goody is pretty good at that. And the fact that he's kind of announcing it, yeah, that I normally don't like watching the draft. This year, I'm going to watch it. I'm pretty excited.
Nice. Make sure you have your Cheesehead TV draft guide right by your side.
Right. Go to cheeseheadtv.com, anyway. Correct? Yes, exactly.
You would think they're a sponsor, but no.
Yeah, we get no money here.
It's a labor of love for Al.
That is for sure.
And our last show, we were speculating that Green Bay could potentially be hosting the NFL draft. A little excitement we had about our new Rush Center edition and how exciting that was going to be. Turns out in 2024, not in Green Bay.
And the biggest problem is being cited is not enough hotels in Green Bay, Appleton, and nobody wants it for the draft, at least down to Milwaukee.
There are more than enough hotels.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's what people have been saying,
there are
though. It's
not
like, can't have enough hotels.
There are not enough bougie hotels.
There are not enough nice, exactly.
That is true. It's like there aren't enough Hotel Northland or the Kohler Lodge. You know, there's yes. It's going to be a bunch of...
There are plenty of no-tell motels
there's great Super 8s.
Yeah. There are
plenty absolutely. Of hotels with numbers in the title. You know,
yes.
Super 8, Motel 6. Yeah. But, yeah, that's not where you're going to put your multi-million-dollar potential first overall pick to stay. So we got to build some more motels and we'll be set. So that'll bring us to the end of the third quarter. We're going to move on to our fourth quarter, which we're just going to call poopery.
Poopery. This is the second poop reference for the show.
It's
is that another drinking game we're doing?
Apparently so.
All right. What's your big news, Kelly? You're very excited about this.
Okay, so it'll be not very news excited. By the time the show.
She is. She's really excited about this.
No, I was. As we're sitting
watch.
Here, just
her voice
blathering
is
going to
get screechy. Here
draft.
We go. Ready? Here we go.
What's going to happen to Tom Brady? Because Bruce Arians just announced that he retired.
Ooh. Boy. Now you have people saying that Tom Brady got him kicked out, which makes zero sense to me, but.
No,
that's what
and
people
how,
are saying.
Arians is like an old man. He could totally retire if he wants to. He's already got his bisquillion dollars.
And his Super Bowl trophy ring. So, yeah. Do you and think, really, if you
Oh, sorry. Do you think Tom Brady plays for Tampa now? Or do you think that he forces some sort of trade?
Tampa holds all the cards, you know?
Yeah, it's, exactly. They don't have
said,
to do anything.
We said that about Aaron Rodgers, too. So
just and he's back.
That's true.
So that didn't make any sense. But anyway.
I was just trying to prove your point. You're welcome.
Oh, my word.
People saying that that Brady got Arians kicked out and now Todd Bowles is the quarterback. If they had been in New York when Todd Bowles was the Jets head coach and saw how he ran the offense there, I don't think they would be saying that Brady wanted him to be the coach. Now, I hope that Bowles is successful. He's a heck of a good defensive coach. We know that. But I kind of laugh at the whole this is Brady getting what he wants thing going on again. But anyway, who cares? It's got nothing to do with the Packers.
Exactly. All right, Jersey Alley, you want to go to your fun and exciting poopery?
Fun and exciting. So, poopery. So, again, with the NFL league meetings this year, they always talk about potential rule changes and whatnot. And we've heard that they have adopted one, right? They've adopted a change. Once again, they're messing with the overtime rules. And
they still don't get it right. Oh, my word.
In response to the last year's Bills Chiefs game, where the Bills didn't get another chance in overtime to get the ball and score again after the teams had basically exchanged touchdowns for the last 20 minutes. So they've kind of pushed through this change now where both teams will be guaranteed one possession of the football in overtime. And after that, it becomes sudden death. Now, the one thing I haven't seen reported is, are they still doing a coin toss to see who gets it first? Or are they going to decide it by home team? Or that I haven't seen. But in any case, the rule change as we know it is that both teams will now get a chance to get the ball, but only in the postseason. We don't care about the regular season.
What? This was only postseason? I didn't.
Who cares about the regular season? This is only important in the postseason. So there's your rule. What do you think, folks?
Why can't they get overtime correct ever? It's like when Jupiter is in line with Pluto, then they go get two balls. And if that doesn't work, we'll go to penalty kicks.
That's also a drinking game is when she does the Pluto aligning with Jupiter. But anyway.
I only did it once today. It's just stupid.
Just to add some information here, some facts here. Since 2010, 7 of the 12 overtime games have been won on an opening possession touchdown, and 10 of 12 have been won by the team that won the coin toss. Now, I'm all for eliminating the coin toss some way, somehow, because that is just patently ridiculous that you're going to influence a game in that manner. And, you know, people are going to say, well, if you lose the coin toss, just stop them on defense. Like, well, okay. You have a point, but have you paid attention to what the NFL has done to the game of football and how they've done everything to help the offense? So it's not a level playing field, in my opinion. So I'd like to see them get rid of the coin toss completely, doing what they're doing with giving each team one possession. I'm actually okay with that if they made it a rule always. And not just in the postseason. So, you know, like you said, Kelly, they just can never seem to get it 100% right.
And honestly, this is why I like college overtime, especially when you start getting into the weirder rule quadruple overtime, which we saw this past year. You know, you get a possession, you get four downs to put in the end zone. You don't have to worry about punting. You just hand it over to the other team. They try. And then you start going for two-point conversion type plays. Just to shorten the course of overtime if you don't do it right the first three times around. Everyone gets a fair shake at it. There's no question of who had the possession first. It doesn't matter. Why can't they just follow college overtime?
Because the NFL does not copy the college.
But their overtime makes sense.
Well,
it's fair. It's equitable. Yeah, everyone gets a shake at trying to put it in the end zone.
In fairness, yes. However, it's really changes. You're not playing real football anymore, right? You're kind of changing the whole, you're deciding the game by some other set of rules. Now, everyone.
We're doing that with the NFL overtime. It's its own set of weird rules.
Well, I mean, different rules, different than the rest of the game, right? There's no first downs. You know, it's a whole different thing. And I'm not arguing against it. I'm just pointing out one thing about it that, you know, is a detriment.
Yeah, the one thing I like about college overtime with the no, you know, no special teams and, you know, no punting and everything is it's just the brevity.
The Packers would definitely vote for that. No special teams.
Yeah, no special teams. You know, yeah. God forbid, you might have to kick a field goal, but
they'd
no
be
punting,
all in on that. We don't have to worry about special teams in overtime. Sold.
But I like the brevity of it, though. It's four downs and then four downs. I know, and eventually you get to one try and one try.
I get you. It just becomes like soccer penalty kicks at that point, which everybody hates in soccer.
Mm-hmm.
In any case.
I think when you look at it, it makes sense because if you take sports like soccer or basketball, where possessions tend to be limited and it's really just based on time, like you get an extra 5 minutes and whoever's the most points after 5 minutes, you win, right? The NFL has always kind of had this whole sudden death thing for quite some time. When did sudden death actually go into play? Was that the 70s?
I think it goes back at least that long. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's as long as I remember football. So that would be at least the early 80s.
Yes. So, but if you look at it, you know, probably the best sport to look at as an example is more like baseball. So if you have to go to extra innings, both teams get a chance to get to go to bat, assuming, you know, it's on the same rules. You know, home team, obviously, if they were ahead, they wouldn't have to play, but they are going to have to because if the other team at the top of the inning goes ahead, then the other, you know, the home team has to bat again. So it's a chance for both teams to score. And since that is how football works, in which one team has a possession for however long it goes until they run out of strikes, so they run out of outs, so they run out of downs, they both should have a chance at the ball. So I agree with you completely.
And by the way, you mentioned soccer before. Since we're doing potpourri, how about the fact that there's going to be a couple of really big name world soccer teams playing at Lambeau Field, right?
I'm actually really excited about it.
Bayern Munich and Manchester City playing a soccer game at Lambeau Field.
Wow.
But they're considering it an exhibition game because of the funky dynamics of an American football field.
Well, no, it's before their season starts, you know, and those teams generally do that. They'll travel, you know, to the U.S. or other countries and play exhibitions like that. And it's part of their preparation, you know, for their season. So
it's also an exhibition because there's no way to make Lambeau Field wide enough to be a soccer field.
Yeah, but, you know, there's some leeway with that. They don't have to get it to the exact dimensions. FIFA rules have certain, like, a plus or minus type of thing. You know, right, there's a range.
You definitely see that in high school football or high school soccer. Sometimes the fields are huge, and sometimes it's like, okay, you're just barely hitting the requirements.
The length of the field is no problem. The NFL field, the length is absolutely no problem at all. The width is a little shorter, but, you know, if you take away what typically would be some sideline space, they can get it to a point where it's actually within the FIFA rules in most stadiums. I can't say for sure Lambeau, but I think they probably could.
I talked to Jay Sorge, you know, formerly of WTMJ, a couple of years ago about this, and he said if you wanted a true regulation field at Lambeau, you'd probably have to take out the first couple rows on either side and go into that space, because you wouldn't have enough in the dead space behind the field.
Yeah, to get to the specific dimensions, right? But you can get close enough to that would still be within their allotted, you know, plus or minus. So
still regulation size to have some fun.
Yeah, it's great. Now, how do you think that's going to go over in terms of attendance in Green Bay, Wisconsin? I kind of asked this question in my post on Cheesehead TV today. I don't see, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know there are a lot of Midwest states where soccer is really huge. I don't know if I associate Wisconsin as being one of those. Kelly, you'd be a good one to answer.
Not necessarily Wisconsin, but I think fans would travel well. Mm-hmm. You've got Chicago that has pro soccer.
Right.
You have Minneapolis.
Illinois, yep.
And recently, the U.S. Women's National Team played up in the Twin Cities, and it was super cold. They didn't fill the entire stadium, but for the dead of winter, they did pretty well. So I think if you've got an English Premier League team and you've got the Bayern Football Club, I would not be surprised if you're pulling fans from all over the country to come, because it's Lambeau, so that's just a draw unto itself. Will it be sold out? Probably not, but I think the showing will be pretty good.
So, like, within a 50-mile radius of Lambeau Field, how popular is soccer? I see it being more popular, closer to...
Not very.
Right, no, closer to, like, Minnesota in that area, kind of where, in the direction where you are.
You look at it, and you're within 4 hours to the Twin Cities, four-ish to Chicago. We'll see. I think it won't draw directly from Green Bay, but I think it'll draw from the Midwest, if not even some of the coasts, people wanting to see these teams.
Yeah.
Well, I think that there's a really neat mirror effect, because the Packers are going to go play in London this year. And what you hear from those fans over in Europe, there are some fans over there who are absolutely breathless. And many of them are not even from England. They're from other European countries, and they're making plans because, they can go watch European football anytime they want. And many of them are very passionate fans about their soccer over there. But to have the American game come over and play there, especially their team, like I said, they're not just drawing fans from London. They're drawing fans from all over. And then there's that interest factor of people says, let's go see what an American football game is like. That's what you're going to see here. I mean, you have people in America right now who follow European soccer very closely. And they're like, Man City is playing here. Man City is playing here. I live in Alabama. It doesn't matter. I'm going to go up to Lambeau to see this. I'm never going to get to see this in my lifetime.
And I think it's a combination of the premier teams and kind of a fantasy destination for a lot of people. Hey, I've always wanted to see Lambeau Field. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be location too. I mean, that's always going to be attractive, but yeah, I think it's really, you could put the Packers in any stadium in England right now, and people are going to travel there to go see them. So I think that's a long answer to your question, Al. will they fill the stadium? I don't know if it'll be jam-packed, but I don't see any reason why they don't have 50,000 there.
Well, I want maybe contemplate going if I can make it work in my schedule. Yeah, I would love to see them play.
Oh, I would love to go. Absolutely.
See is kids going like as a team, youth soccer teams going as a group to go see.
Right.
See,
that I could like definitely that. See. Yeah, for sure.
Like, I would not be surprised if my daughter's high school soccer team, hey, who all wants to go? We're going to get a van and we'll all go together. And also youth soccer, the younger group, little 10 and 12 year olds will go as a team.
Agreed. Definitely agree with that.
All right.
And by the way, I just looked it up. 1974 is when the league instituted sudden death overtime for any regular season game that was tied after 60 minutes.
So raise your hand if you were too young to even be in school at that time. Oh, that would just be me.
76. I would have been early college years.
All right. I didn't start kindergarten until 76.
Did they have indoor plumbing in those days?
No.
No?
Black and white.
Okay. That they did have, actually. All right. That'll take us to the end of the fourth quarter. Thank you for joining us tonight and guys, kind of our off season laid back mode. So we're just going to blow the horn and let Kelly go.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com where you can listen to several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow @PackersTalk.net on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the pod, show us some love and leave us a review. You can also find us on Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying, "Play Packers Talk Podcast." That's a wrap. It's a month till the draft. Go Pack Go.
Go
all
right, Pack
guys.
Go
Pack Go. See you next time.